This next guest has been in hiatus the last few weeks, but now he's back with a vengeance. It's tourney time, and he's going to be our guide to help us fill out the bracket. Vegas insider RJ Bell, pregame.com. What's up, RJ? How are you, pal?
Now listen, JJ, how lucky is New York City to have you on right after the brackets are released? The fan does it right.
That's what I love to hear, RJ, and I very much appreciate that. And RJ, before we run through this bracket, before you give the audience some advice, I want to ask you, because as you know, I'm a Syracuse alum, and I was celebrating like many of the players when I found out my alma mater was going to the NCAA tournament. If I wanted to place a wager at around 5 o'clock to whether or not the Cuse would be dancing, what would my odds be looking at?
Yeah, so that's something you could actually do. Online books, many of them, had odds, yes or no. Will the teams perceived to be on the bubble make the tournament? And there were four upsets. So two teams not expected to be selected were, two teams expected to be selected were not, and amongst those four upsets, the biggest upset of all was Syracuse being selected. 100 on Syracuse to be selected won you $775. So we're looking at, you know, 12%, 14% chance. That's it. The other team that got in not expected to, Arizona State, they were plus 250. Now flip it over, teams that missed out, the upsets missing out, St. Mary's plus 195, and the biggest one missing out, USC plus 425, that they didn't make it.
RJ, we do this year after year after year, and I tell the audience time and time again, before you fill out a bracket, I think it is an absolute must to look at the point spreads, because I think they can be telling. For example, Miami is a six seed. They play in the ACC. They had a very good year, but yet they're only a 2 or 3 point favorite against Loyola of Chicago. How helpful, how useful will those Vegas odds be for everybody when they're putting a pen to the paper between now and Thursday?
Well, it's how useful do they want to make them? And if they don't, they're making a big mistake, because I can say this unequivocally. In the first round, which is more than half your picks anyway, right, is in the first round, you can partner with Vegas and not even split the money with them. Here's how. You just look at, as you said, the spread in each game. And one of the things I'll be putting out tomorrow on my Twitter is a list of the 16 seeds, 1 through 16, obviously, with the best spread for the team in that slot. So, for example, Virginia, biggest favorite amongst the number ones, 22.5. So, hey, most people aren't going to have any upsets of the ones. But if you're thinking about one upset, a long shot, right, it's about 12-1 underdog, by the way, of any one being upset. But if you're thinking about it, you probably don't want to pick the one that's the biggest favorite. Probably want to pick the one that's the smallest favorite. Penn, for example, is only a 15-point underdog in their first round as a number 16. Here's a great example. Number 10, Butler, is favored right now by 1.5. So you could think, wait, 10, that's double digit. Oh, man, I don't want to pick such an upset. No, Vegas is saying there's a better than 50% chance that Butler's going to win the game. So to not use that, go to pregame.com. We got the free odds or the newspaper. It's not that hard. To not use that is a big mistake.
All right, RJ, I always like to find a value play, a little bit of a dark horse, shall you say, as far as trying to win the NCAA tournament. I see now Villanova's 5-1. Duke and Virginia are 6-1. Michigan State is 8-1. Do you have a team that you like, that you are going to play, that has greater than 10-1 odds to win the whole thing?
I do. And this, I'm still surprised there's this much value here. I like North Carolina, 18-1. And if you shop, you can get even better. And here's the rationale. Handicappers tend to blend together the entire season. Now, when you only have November, December, January, February, and less than half of March, it makes sense, right? You want to have all those games. They're only playing two games a week. But when you have a young team, and North Carolina is an example of that, Kentucky, and there's other ones, a lot of freshmen, sophomores, those young teams, they tend to play so much better in February and March than they do early in the year. Why? Because they're high school kids in November. And even if they're good, it's going to be a learning curve. And that curve is steep. So the math guys, the Ken Palms that blend the whole season, even if they wait more for the more recent games, they probably don't wait enough. North Carolina, young team, didn't play so well early, trending sharply upwards now. And because of that, 18-1, experience, you got the coach, a lot of value.
RJ, I want to ask you about two that I really like. And I look at Arizona as a team that was left for dead with Miller potentially being on the outs. It looked like Aiden was potentially going to be suspended and not play in this tournament. He came back with a vengeance. And I know the Pac-12 had a down year, and it was not vintage Pac-12 basketball. But DeAndre Aiden is going to play at the next level. And I don't like Sean Miller in postseason tournaments because he doesn't win the big game. But you think sooner rather than later, you keep bringing the big team to the tournament, you're going to get over the hump. What do you think about Arizona at 15-1? What is your thought on that value play?
I think the driver of that handicap is a simple question, but the answer isn't so simple. The controversy, the one-game suspension, all of the distraction that feels inevitable, is that a detriment? Is that a negative? Or is that something that's going to bring the team together, kind of like in Major League, right? We got to win the whole effing thing. Well, I don't know the answer. I will say this. If you think they're going to come together, I think 15-1, this team talent-wise is better than that, Arizona. One last thought. I think you got to be careful, and you're a savvy handicapper, so it's not like you're making obvious mistakes, JJ. But I think the listeners, everybody, has to be careful when they look from today's perspective and judge things that, quite frankly, can be swung on by a game or two. You know, think of John Elway. When he was two seasons before retirement, the narrative, and me being in my 40s, I can remember this, the narrative was, oh, great quarterback, great talent, but Elway can't win the big game. Two Super Bowls later, that story becomes very different. You probably aren't old enough to remember, but I know you're a historian of the game. Coach K, before the 91-92 season, had a reputation.
Couldn't get over the hump.
Couldn't get over the hump.
Hey, RJ, Jimmy Boeheim at Syracuse before 2003. He was the coach. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. So if you get there enough, I'm with you. Sooner or later, with most of these guys, if they have the talented team, they're going to break through. And I'm with you there. I think Arizona, a lot of value. RJ Bell, Vegas Insider, getting you ready for the NCAA tournament. RJ, I like these props you sent my way. The 5-12 is always like the game that we look to as your usual upset this time of the year. You're telling me I got to lay 3-1 odds if any 5 loses to a 12 this year? That's kind of crazy.
Really? Because, I mean, if you look at the history, and I'll be putting out on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, 11 bracket rules that I'm going to be updating and putting out tomorrow. And one of them is a 12 pretty much wins every year. And I know
usually. I figured it would be a little lower than that, though, RJ, just thinking about money line parlays for 5 seeds and whatnot. I figured it would be like minus 180, minus 200.
Yeah, and again, since everyone's talking, you know, handicapping 101, betting effectively 101, is if the public likes something, it's probably expensive. Doesn't matter if it's real estate, doesn't matter if it's a pizza, whatever it is, a slice of pizza, is the public loves it, it's more expensive. And I think the public knows 5 seeds have a history of being upset at least once. I do find it fascinating as you go down the list is, and this is a fun bar bet, it's exactly even money, will a number 4 be upset? 50% chance they go the 4s go 4-0, 50% chance one of them, at least one of them, loses. You can go all the way down to a 2 seed. Well, one of them, at least one of them, lose, you get plus 350 if any of them lose. And as we mentioned, 12-1 on the number ones. But I will say this. I remember the tournament from the 90s. These ones used to be 26, 28, 30-point favorites. Now, like we said, there's two not even with their opponent yet, and with only two set, Kansas is only 15 over Penn. With that, obviously, it seems like it'd be a shock, but there's 15-point dogs that win every Saturday during the regular season.
All right, RJ, mention a couple of those tournament rules that you have for filling out your bracket. So you pick a 12 to pick a 5 every single year. What are some of the other rules you have?
Well, you know, the trick is each round has a ceiling, meaning history says if you're above a certain seed and you move a team into that round that's higher than that ceiling, you're making a mistake. And it's pretty shocking. Every round has it, and it's often lower than you think. I'll give you an example. 12s making the Sweet 16, it happens all the time. As we said, they win at least one game a vast majority of the time. And when the 12s win one, they tend to win the second game about 50% of the time, just a little less, to make the Sweet 16. But then, to win and get to the Elite Eight happens hardly ever. So if you have a 12 and you move out the Sweet 16, makes perfect sense. Move that 12 out to the Elite Eight, you're bucking a ton of history. And literally each round has one of those, and I'll give you one more, and once again I'll be putting all these out, is a team higher, worse seeded than four, number four, that wins the title has happened only once in the modern era. So we're talking 30-plus years. It's happened one time. So we can talk Cinderella all we want, but I've coined the phrase, Cinderella has a curfew, and she's got to be home before the title because it just doesn't happen. And so when you do pick that champion in your bracket, if it's not one of the 16, 1-4 seeds, again, you're bucking history.
All right, RJ, before we let you go, your initial lean for who's going to be in the Final Four, who would it be?
You know, I've got to be honest with you. I'm very careful with giving you stuff, JJ, because I know your audience is very savvy. I don't have a great feel yet.
Okay.
But what I would say is this. I am very skeptical. I'll give you one I'm looking to out early, Michigan State.
Interesting.
And quickly, here's why. And I've been saying this, up and down the dial on the radio for about 2 weeks, is the NCAA is about money. We saw that, I think, clearly with a Louisville. We believe Louisville here in Vegas was the best team not to make it. We think Louisville is literally the 23rd best team in the country. And literally, they'd be favorites over everyone after 23. And lo and behold, they don't make the tournament. Why? Because them making the tournament brings extra attention to a team that's getting a lot of bad press. Well, Michigan State's getting more bad press than anybody, and I think they've set up this draw to make it tough on Michigan State, and obviously they have if you look at it. And remember, there's one more thing they can do. Every team has an ideal way they like to play. And with that style of play, they have an ideal referee or they have the worst possible referee. Physical teams like referees that don't blow the whistle and vice versa. My guess is Michigan State gets some bad ref draws. Not that there's any shenanigans going on. They're just these refs, I think, will have a propensity to call the game in a way that disfavors, that doesn't favor Michigan State.
RJ Bell, Vegas Insider, pregame.com. RJ, always enjoy the perspective. Everybody can check out your info at pregame. Great stuff. Follow him on Twitter. RJ, let's do this again soon, all right?
Thank you, JJ.
Good stuff from RJ Bell.